You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store.
I'm Sam Edwards. I'm third generation Cure Master from S. Wallace Edwards & Sons in Surrey, Virginia. We support the Heritage Radio Network because we believe in the cause and what they're doing. They're supporting family-raised livestock, small family farms, certified humane, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free. Basically, we take the products from Heritage Foods USA and make them into Serrano-style hams, prosciutto-style hams, bacon, sausage, like my grandfather did. You can find us at SurreyFarms.com or VirginiaTraditions.com.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard while we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along.
Hello, good morning, everybody. We are here once again with Growing Good out of Roberta's in Bushwick for Heritage Radio. I have an amazing guest with me today. Papa, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
He's here. Aloha.
Aloha.
So my guest today goes under the name of White Light. Papa, what do you want me to call you? We've never actually met, though I feel so inspired by your being and, you know, your whole existence. What would you like me to call you?
You can call me Augustine.
Okay, Augustine. Well, for all my listeners out there, I know Augustine through a very inspirational new mom called Amy Woodruff. She is the creator of Daughter of the Sun Charms, which you can find all over online, but that will be for a future segment. I was very taken with Augustine because I received a Kickstarter project, a mass email, about something really amazing that he's working on, which we'll get to at the end of this segment. I've become a Kickstarter junkie, so I want to explain to everybody what this amazing network of people around the world is. But what we're going to be talking to Papa about today is sound and light as a healing force, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, all I have here is just a couple of quotes of yours, which I'm going to start with, that kind of inspired me to connect with you. I'm just going to read them. These are quotes of Augustine's that really, you know, it just got me thinking, hey, I want this guy in the air. I want him helping families, especially us city folks. We're so bogged down with so much noise, so much construction, so much, you know, car drama, that I just really felt that, you know, these kind of things would be really helpful. So this is a quote from him. We have arrived upon strange and exciting times right now on this big blue ball we call Earth, facing all kinds of challenges environmentally, socially, politically. I believe we are each being called upon in our own unique way to help raise the vibration of the planet. My deepest passion in the last years has been the study of healing possibilities within the realm of sound and light. Could you explain that to us a little further?
Yeah. I mean, it's a deep, it goes so deep. I think we're just starting to even begin to remember the possibilities of using sound. We'll just start with sound. Using sound to bring harmony within our bodies and within our environment. I think it's something we used to know how to do, but possibly have forgotten, and now we're remembering. But yeah, the possibilities are limitless. I think when I first really started to, I've always been a musician. I've always loved music. I've always loved surrounding myself with sounds that nourish my spirit. And but it wasn't, I think, until my first trip down to Peru when I started to contemplate sound on a whole other level. And it was because I went to a lot of the ruins, particularly in the Sacred Valley, the ones that so many have traveled to, like Machu Picchu and P Tisac, Ollantaytambo, a lot of those old Inca ruins. And, you know, those were blowing my mind. It was the first time I'd seen anything like that. And
right.
I had a lot of questions, like most people do. And
how they got there.
Yeah, how they got there. And most of the answers just were completely unsatisfying. I mean, I understood most of the guides down there. They're totally making things up. They have no idea.
Right. And it's so much just such a longer history than we probably even have documentation of.
Oh, yeah. It goes way back. I mean, before, and that's what I found through subsequent trips to Peru, that the Inca culture was really late in the game, and really most of the Inca construction is tinker toys compared to the stuff that's around Lake Titicaca, and that's much earlier from the earlier cultures there. And so some of those blocks are just huge. These stones are just, I mean, just enormous, and they're fitting together perfectly. You can't even slip a piece of paper in between them, and there's no mortar.
Wow.
So...
And I'm assuming that this is when, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm assuming that this is also when light came into it, because aren't a lot of these man-made sculptures have so much to do with the sun and the moon and the way that the light casts upon them?
Oh, definitely. They were obsessed with the stars. They're obsessed with, using light and casting shadows.
Right.
And, so much more that we don't even begin to remember what they were exactly doing.
But being there yourself, it awoke your spirit.
Yeah, and it made me ask a lot of questions. So I started to turn to not only the locals and anyone I could find in Peru, but doing research and looking at the archaeology, and none of it was satisfying, none of the answers I found. But then I started to meet a few people, and first a few of them were in the Amazon in Peru, and then later on I actually met them in the highlands, like near these ruins places, and they were all saying the same thing. They were usually old men, and they had studied these mysteries themselves, and they all agreed. They had different details, maybe sometimes a little bit, but it was always that these blocks, from what they understood, were moved using sound vibration. And I had a few people tell me exactly. They're like, yeah, just even a handful, maybe four or five men or women in a little circle singing the right harmony together, the right frequency with the right intention in their brain and heart,
right.
You can move an enormous stone up in the air.
That's
and
amazing.
Float it wherever you want it and place it however you want it. You can melt a stone that way. And
I just want to reiterate here, we're not talking about magic. We're talking about actual physical power that we have with our voice, and uniting together that can, make these powerful movements. It's not, voodoo. It's not, poof. It's actual, what we actually have power to do as human beings.
Definitely. And soon we'll remember the science behind it, because we could talk about it scientifically. I can't do that yet, but...
You're working on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is a parenting... I'm sorry, go ahead, finish.
Well, I was just going to say, soon we'll have it all mapped again, and we'll understand, like you said, it's not magic, it's not crazy, it's actually just how our environment works and how we work with it. As we learn that we are all the time controlling our outer environment from our inner consciousness, we'll actually learn some of the gifts that how we can really affect the outside environment in ways that we thought in the past we would have called magic or fairy tale like.
Right. But no, it's like Mother Nature. Mother Nature moves mountains. Mother Nature erupts volcanoes. There's a force there, and we are a part of it. On our planet.
Yes, definitely.
So this is a parenting show, though. So we do want to kind of like, I want to introduce Augustine as a new dad. Tell us a little bit about your miracle.
Little Naya, Tia, she's almost 1 year old now.
Yay.
And it's so amazing.
It's just amazing.
It's so amazing.
I know. I'm the same way. I'm just like, it's amazing. It's just amazing.
I don't know what else to say. I'm learning so much.
But has being a father, I mean, I'm sure already with your studies, has it just brought, it must have just brought a whole new mind-blowing experience. Can you tell us a little bit about how what you just talked about with your past excursions and being a dad, how the two have connected, or has certain things, has Naya inspired you to see certain things more clearly and leave other things behind?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think more than anything, it's just being around a being so fresh is
right.
The biggest gift is just having no belief system in place yet. So there's none of that, none of that skepticism that can come in, and all possibilities are still totally open.
Right, because the only skepticism that can come in is the one that we instill in them. It's such a hard job. I mean, it's so hard to... I mean, I know for myself, it's so hard to even just censor myself and the damage that, you know, that that the world has done me, and just to censor that, it's just, you know, it's a huge daily challenge.
Exactly. So that's where I'm learning a lot, because I can see, even though I'm doing my best, I was aware before we had ever had Naya, I was like, you know, when I have a child, I don't want to heap the same programs onto her shoulders that I had heaped onto mine, and have just so she doesn't have to go through that whole process of peeling off all the programming. Yeah.
Which is the process that you and your tribe, I know you like you call you guys the tribe out there, where you are basically Augustin, baby Naya, and Amy have been living a bit off the grid in Hawaii, right? What's the name of your territory there?
Kauai.
So they've really just decided to strip it down. They moved out there. I've only seen pictures on Facebook, but it's blowing my mind. You're really, really making that effort to strip down these layers that we're talking about.
Sure, yeah. I mean, a place like Kauai, it's really easy to be able to get out there and just be in the nature and be away from the matrix,
right,
and avoid a lot of the distortion. So that makes it nice. I mean, definitely having Naya in a fairly 100% natural environment most of the time, I think, is super nourishing.
And you guys are growing your own food, I see, over there, and pretty much
definitely
as sustainable as you can. So inspiring.
Yay.
So inspiring. So we got to go to a break. We're going to be playing a song that Augustin crafted. He goes by the name of White Light. When we come back, we're going to be talking about his current project, how we can all get involved. But I just want to segue into the song with another quote of yours that, you know, really touched me, and that I think that all parents, wherever you're living, whatever situation, even if it's just 10 minutes of the day, 15 minutes after work, you could just relate to this quote here and think about how you can, change maybe the environment in your home just a little bit, even if it's just a half an hour a day for your baby. So here's a quote from Augustin. To what degree we are aware of it or not, we are constantly engaging in this dance with the sounds and images we surround ourselves with. Music that makes us feel happy and connected. Images that inspire unconditional love, and certainly the opposite is true as well, as we can also choose, usually without realizing it, to envelop ourselves with images or sounds that create tension, excitation, separation, anger, and sadness. It appears we're just beginning to reawaken to the possibilities of using sound and light to create vast amounts of spontaneous transformation in ourselves and our environment. Our environment being our families. And I hope you guys take a little bit of that home with you all tonight. Here's a song by White Light.
Sole a pecuche, yo con la promesa sin pemo, seré que dice posible.
Good morning, it's Alessandra again with Growing Good. So first of all, I have to apologize. I just completely introduced that track wrong, Agustin. Agustin goes under the name of White Flight. I think I just introduced it as White Light. But
yeah,
the reason
fine.
Why the light...
I like all the names. Sometimes White Arc, White Flight, White Light. But the recording name, I think if people are looking for it, they'll probably find it under White Flight.
Right. White Flight. The light part that comes in is because his new record that he's trying to make is called White Flight, Pyramid of Light.
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Full circle. So... basically, I'm just going to talk a second about Kickstarter, and then we can get into that. What is Kickstarter? Kickstarter is the largest funding platform for creative projects in the world. So basically, you can just start your own Kickstarter funding. You present your project. You explain exactly where the funding is, why it's important. And what's really cool about it is that it's an all or nothing funding. On Kickstarter, a project must reach its funding goal before the deadline runs out or no money changes hands. This is so that everyone involved is protected and creators can't be expected to develop their project without the necessary funds or keep them for something else. It's really cool. I've actually, because of you, have become a Kickstarter junkie. I think I spent like $400 on Kickstarter this month. But,
wow.
Right, but the thing is that really in the end, I might only be 50, unfortunately, because I don't know if these projects, are going to get funded.
Right, right.
The cool thing is that you also get rewards. So with White Flight Pyramid of Light, if you get on there, they have a deadline. I think it's October 1st, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. If you get on there, I mean, Agustin has come up with the most amazing rewards. I pledged $25. I run a single income home, and that's all that I could afford. But I think for $25, I'm getting like a really psychedelic tape that I can play my son in the mail, a cassette tape, and I get a download of the record or something. Anyways,
yeah, that's right. When the new record's finished, you'll get a download of that and a hard copy, I think, too.
Yay. So with these projects, you get in. So let's talk a little bit more about that. Another quote of Agustin's that's on his White Flight Pyramid of Light is he's saying that, this is a quote, "To do my part, I will simply honor what is alive within me right now, and inside of me there lives a passion to share new sounds and new images with the intention to only inspire more harmony, more humor and happiness, and more unity in the entire planetary field." Tell us a little bit about what you're trying to accomplish, Agustin.
Yeah, I think with this next recording that I make, and I also want to do some sort of accompanying film and visuals, I'm really just going to focus purely on creating a project that helps bring about integrated consciousness in the listener. I imagine the next one, singing, especially voicing any words, is going to be totally unimportant.
Yeah.
It's more just creating sounds and textures that create harmony and create a dialogue between both hemispheres of the brain and help connect the heart and open the heart so the brain can actually be enlightened behind the brain. Because what's happened, from what I understand, is we've started to view the reality out of the brain the last 5,000 or more years, and we started to take that as real. We're up behind the eyes. I don't know if it's like that for you, but you might wake up in the morning and kind of look down at your hands and look down at your toes, and it appears as if what you call you is kind of up in the head, up behind the eyes, more centered in the brain. And I believe the way we were designed was actually to be operating first and foremost with our consciousness through our human hearts. And so that's why the heart is so important. That's why the heart has been talked about forever, and why we still talk about it in terms of love, always it's all about the heart. But I think we really kind of forgot for a moment what is really possible if we shift our consciousness back down into our hearts and operate first from our heart and then send the energy up to the brain secondly. I mean, we have a situation right now where we're in our brains and we're using, for the most part, 5% of our brains. And so anyway, the music, where it ties in with the music, is I think there are tools that we can use that can help create that experience, dialoguing between both hemispheres, bringing holistic activation to our brains And we all know what it feels like to be in our hearts when we hear that certain song or we're in a certain environment when we're faced with such great natural beauty. And
it's
so,
true, but a lot of popular music today, I have to agree with you, it's kind of doing the opposite. It wants to promote, you know, heartbreak and sadness or, you know, money and
exactly.
riches and, you know, things that, you know, for our children, I think that we can do better as parents for the next generation.
Definitely. Especially when we're choosing what imagery. I mean, obviously we can't keep our children, you know, locked away and only in a bubble
in Hawaii.
they're going to be faced with all kinds of everything from the environment, and that's important. But especially when they're young, I feel like it's kind of our duty, per se, to surround them with images and sounds that are totally harmonious. And
So what are some of the sound and light rituals you practice with baby Naya just on any day?
Well, I think having her around bird sound is one thing that's really important. If I can get her around bird sound, because I think bird sound is kind of like sonic sacred geometry. I don't know if
that's amazing. But that's amazing. We can do that, you guys. Botanical Gardens, hit it up. There's ways of city people to do this. That's amazing. And if it's true, if you think about it, because the birds, they've been through it all. They've been here forever. The birds, they were around during the dinosaur age, right?
Oh yeah, well, and they're unfiltered. They're like the energy is just coming straight through their voice box, and it's just coming out and creating these beautiful tones that are totally healthy for our brains.
I'm so happy to learn that as a parent. Thank you so much.
Oh yeah, you know, and I think I'll just talk about this for a moment. I know we probably only have a moment, but one thing that really blew my mind before we had Naya, Amy and I were in New Zealand, and we met a woman who works with this thing called the Tomatis method. It's T-O-M-A-T-I-S, Tomatis. And he was a Frenchman, and the mid-20th century, he was really doing his work. And he worked with sound, and he was helping create all kinds of healing for you name it, pretty much. He was helping heal it using this method, the Tomatis method, which is basically just making sure, first analyzing the ear, like having a person sit down and play them certain frequencies through earphones, and he would figure out that certain parts of the sonic spectrum, most of us will be totally deaf to. And what he figured out is the reason why we were often deaf to a certain part of the sonic spectrum was because of some traumatic event that happened in our childhood. Or not even, I mean, traumatic sounds really serious, but right. even like the tone that we say that my mom always used to use when she was angry with me, mm-hmm. she would use a certain tone of voice.
Sure.
And, you know, I think we've all know that experience where there's some parent going like, are you deaf? Can you even hear me? You know, they're yelling at their child and it's like, and the child just seems to be oblivious to what the parent is saying. Well, Tomatis found that literally we become deaf to certain parts of this sound spectrum. I mean, if we're always getting hit with that same punishment, guilt vibration that comes through a certain tone of voice from our mom, eventually our ear just shuts down to it and it's just like, I don't want to hear that anymore.
Right.
Or
later on in life, you might create some sort of complex where then you feel like you need to hear that from your significant other, and it's just a vicious cycle.
Right, exactly. So basically what he found is that by playing, again, through earphones or through music, and he used a lot of classical music, and he would filter out certain parts of the spectrum, but that he would retrain the ear to be able to hear these parts of the spectrum, and that would unlock spontaneous healing in the people he was dealing with. I mean, eventually, you know, like concert violinists and all kinds of musicians started flocking to Tomatis because they found out that you can only play what you can hear.
Yeah.
So it's so important to be able to have an ear that can hear really high parts of the spectrum and really low parts of the spectrum. So bringing it back to parenthood, I think it's just important, too, more than anything, is with our own voices to play with sound with our children.
Yeah.
Putting in low frequency, putting in high frequency.
That was
putting
a big
in
one
other
I did.
Sounds.
Going high. Yeah, I just remembered reading something simple, like I don't know, it might have even been in What to Expect When You're Expecting, that going low to high in your lullabies, you know, when they're infants, really helps soothe them.
Totally. Because that's opening a whole part of their ear, and their, thus their brain, and helps awaken, like, and stimulates all major parts of their brain. And so I think it's really important to really play with our own voices in terms of, like, low soothing sounds and high sounds, because most of us talk pretty much in high voices, I've noticed, to the kids. And that makes sense, too. Tomatis explains that, because where the ear is at in early... in infancy and childhood, it's like they're more used to and keen on hearing high frequencies.
Thank you so much, Augustine, for being here. You guys get on Kickstarter with White Flight, Pyramid of Light. Look it up. And this is Raymond Scott, my favorite record, Soothing Sounds. It's something that was recorded in 1963. And this track is called The Happy Whistler. Love and light to you from Alessandra and Baby Wally.
Aaron Fitzpatrick, the host of our wine program, Unfiltered, is looking for help on Kickstarter to open Fork and Anchor, a general store inspired by two food-loving ladies with an equal affection for urban life, the sea, and the agricultural paradise of Long Island's North Fork. The store is situated in a growing community of farmers and winemakers and will become a meeting place offering prepared foods, a variety of sun-dries, and a selection of homespun products, many of which will have their origins in New York State. Your backing will help them fulfill their dream of fostering relationships with the community and making the local food system accessible on a broader scale. Search Kickstarter.com for Fork and Anchor and donate today. The following is a message from Nofa NY. Do you dig local food? Love organic farmers? Do you crave to be part of a growing movement of consumers concerned with the state of our nation's food system? Then sign up today to take the NOFA NY's Locavore Challenge this September. Join 5,000 other New York locavores that are hungry, active, and ready to change our food system. Learn more at www.nylocavorechallenge.com.